Reading this morning is from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 24. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near.' I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it would be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it."
Thank you. When you start a new job, often you get an orientation day. A day when you are shown around your place of work, given an idea of the responsibilities you have, introduced to your co-workers, things like that. But Jesus' wider group of disciples don't seem to have had a general introduction to what it meant to be his disciples. Their first solo task is not going to share a prepared gospel message to their friend in a corner, but is going out in pairs to share the gospel to strangers. This is more like being dropped in the deep end rather than being gently introduced to the life of discipleship. The sending of the 72 in mission is an event uniquely recorded in Luke's gospel. It is a similar act of sending by Jesus to the sending of the 12. The 72 are not seemingly anointed with the power and authority to exorcise demons and heal diseases, yet this is an outcome of their ministry. They went and did Jesus-like things in his name. This wider group of disciples were not sent off into mission willy-nilly, though. They were given specific instructions as to what they were to do. First, they were to go in pairs. This was not mission for lone wolves, because as we will see, it is a place for lambs, and lambs need company. In pairs, the sent disciples would have companionship and support. They could back each other up, share their strengths, share in prayer. Mission was to happen in company. Secondly, mission is also something that was to happen now. We're used to celebrating harvest in the autumn. Even though crops are harvested at different times across the year, depending on their type. The harvest of mission, though, is now and always. It's always the season for proclaiming God's kingdom, and there are always too few people to do it. There is an immediacy to mission. Thirdly, Jesus becomes the Lord of the harvest. It's not just a title for God, and the Lord of the harvest sends his disciples out. But he doesn't send them out to a nice, safe environment. He sends them out into the wild. They are lambs among the wolves. And into this dangerous environment, they are sent out poorly equipped. Just as when Jesus sent out the 12. They're not to take much with them. No purse, no bag, no sandals. And they're to be focused on the task as well. They're not even to greet people on the way. The 72 go out into mission in deficit because they need to be dependent upon Jesus. Mission is dangerous but dependent. Fourthly, we find out where the 72 are to go. Not to marketplaces and town squares or to streets to stand around with sandwich boards or on soapboxes, but they are to go to homes, to meal tables, to the places of intimacy and invitation. They're not to move around from place to place either, but once they find a welcome, they are to stay and accept what is offered. Their mission was not a crusade, a strategy, or a program, but an interpersonal encounter in which the gospel is proclaimed and embodied within the context of a trusting relationship. These gospel encounters are places of peace, shalom, wholeness, goodwill. These are not confrontations, places of questioning or pigeonholing. And even when they are rejected, there's to be no arguments or judgments. That is for God alone. As Jesus describes in verses 13 to 15, when he talks about the towns that have rejected his message of the kingdom. For a disciple, when they find no welcome, they're simply to shake the dust off their feet at an unwelcoming town and tell them that they've missed out on the kingdom of God coming in their midst. Mission is about looking for a welcome and staying the course. And finally, in verse 17, Jesus tells his sent disciples that they are his representatives, his surrogates, his ambassadors. Where they go in his name, with his purpose, to do the things of his kingdom, with his voice, his words. And when people respond to them, they're responding to him. And when they reject them, they are rejecting him. In mission, we are to be like Jesus. And when the 72 return from their first mission trip, they're joyful because they know they've been successful. And Jesus shares in that joy with them. And he says the disciples have been able to do even more than they thought because the kingdom of God was proclaimed and the realm of Satan quaked. And even demons fled. For those who acknowledge his name, he will protect them. And he uses the images of scorpions and snakes as figurative examples of the kind of protection that he will offer. And then Jesus launches into a hymn of praise and thanks to God. A hymn that speaks of how the wisdom of God is both withheld and revealed at different times, and how the Father and Son and Spirit work together. And Jesus only rarely shares these kinds of insights, and he makes sure the disciples know that this is a special moment. In a similar way to the sending of the 12 in mission, the sending of the 72 helps us learn something about what it means to be sent by Jesus into the mission fields of our lives. On this day of Pentecost, we also recognise that it was through the coming of the Spirit that the real impetus for mission came upon Jesus' disciples in the church. And that too was Jesus' intention. In our reading this morning, there is a certain connection with words and phrases in John 20, 21, 21 and 22, which is known as John's Pentecost. Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Called by Jesus and enabled by the Spirit, we are still the sent disciples of Jesus into mission. So what can we learn from this passage about mission as Jesus' disciples today? The first thing we can learn is the who we are of mission. And the who we are is the sent disciples of Jesus. Jesus' disciples were not told to stand around on the corners of their hometowns and expect people to come to them. They were told to go to other places. They were sent out from all that was comfortable and secure, sent away from the reassuring presence of Jesus, and set off on their own. And to be the sent disciples of Jesus means moving away from the comfortable and the secure. It means moving away from the reassuring presence of your seat on a Sunday, from your house group, from your prayer meeting, and going out the door and meeting people in Jesus' name. You cannot be sent if you remain in your seat. To be the sent disciples of Jesus means you need to go somewhere. I knew a church in Southampton whose numbers were declining. And they persisted, though, with an evening service, just in case someone would turn up. There was no thought of them going out and doing something to meet people, to tell them about Jesus. They just waited for them to arrive and got smaller and smaller and smaller. And perhaps they're still waiting for someone to turn up. I don't know. Where are you to be the sent ones of Jesus? Your street? Your family? Your workplace? Where are you called to get up off your seat and go to? It may not be anywhere that you're not going to anyway, but it may be going there in a different frame of mind, recognizing that the call of Jesus to be his sent disciple rests upon your life always. God's call and God's Spirit still lets us know and enables us to be the sent disciples of Jesus. Another thing we can learn from this passage is the how we are to go of mission. And this how of mission is an attitude and simple actions that we can adopt. Jesus sent his disciples off in pairs. Mission and evangelism is hard. Probably one of the hardest things we can do as Christians. It takes us out of our comfort zones in ways nothing else does. Yet if we've been a Christian for a while, we know the call of Jesus is clear. We cannot be one of his disciples without sharing the gospel with others. That's, after all, the imperative that the Great Commission lays upon us. Whilst we may not go out on a mission trip in the same way that the 72 went, Jesus sends us out on mission. And we should not go out alone. We need the support of others. When we are seeking to engage in mission and evangelism, we should share this with other Christians, in our home groups, in our prayer groups, with friends, and allow them to offer wisdom, prayer, and encouragement. We'll always have Jesus present with us through the Spirit to engage with us in mission And we have the body of Christ to support us as well. We go in mission together as the body of Christ. Jesus sent his disciples off, though, to make friends and influence people. Not to claim territory or conquer in his name. And this is mission in the manner of Jesus, a mission of humility and grace. His disciples were to live among people, find a welcome, stay, eat at another's table, eat what was put before them. There's to be no grandstanding, no expectation of special treatment, no standing apart of those considered different. This is relational, incarnational mission. And this relational mission with peace at the heart of them, peace being that big biblical word of shalom, the wholeness and goodness of that only God can bring to his creation. And Jesus says, find people who respond to the peace of God and build from there. Find people who respond to the good news of the kingdom and take that as a sign that God has gone ahead of you in mission and start from that place. Stay in that place and live as Jesus' disciples. We need to be attentive to the signs where God is already working out his purpose, of where God is already planting his seeds in people's lives. You will only know where God is already at work in a person's life by talking to them, finding out how they react, how they think. Not by bulldozing in there, but with open conversations, asking about real things in their lives, talking about things that matter. The how of mission is that we are sent together as God's people in peace and love. And then finally, there is the where we are to go of mission. Jesus sent his disciples to people's homes. This is not the mission of street corner preachers on their soapboxes or with their sandwich boards. This is not the mission to strangers, but mission to friends. You invite someone into your home and share a meal table with them. Even with the different hospitality customs of the Middle East, you are acknowledging this person as someone you can relate to, someone you have something in common with, someone you can become friends with. It's not those who are sent by Jesus who are inviting others to their meal tables, though. This is other people asking Jesus' disciples to be their guests. This is not Jesus' disciples offering someone else an invite with an ulterior motive and then slipping a gospel message in between the main course and the dessert. This is being offered a welcome by another, and just through their very presence and conversation, finding opportunities to share the good news of Jesus when appropriate. And for us to engage in mission in this way, we're talking about a long-term commitment. Jesus says, stay there, do not move around. This is mission as neighborliness, mission rooted in a community. How well do you know your neighbours? If you had to compile a list of the nine households closest to yours, how much information could you gather about them? I don't want to know the colour of their car or whether they've got nice flowers outside. I mean, where they came from, what they do for a job, maybe even the hopes and dreams they have for their lives. How many neighbours have you had round for a cup of coffee? Or, more in line with this passage, how many neighbours have you been to their house for a cup of coffee? These are the nine closest households to yours. This is not mission in Portsmouth or Peru, but mission within a few metres of your home. This is crossing the road mission, not crossing the sea. We are to go in God's mission to our neighbours, find places of welcome and share the peace and love of God. I've called this sermon Mission 101, Discipleship 101, because going in mission should be something that is foundational for us as Jesus' disciples. Yet too often we make it a postgraduate exercise. These disciples that Jesus sent off were not the finished article. They were probably far near the beginning of their time as Jesus' disciples than they were near the end. They'd not experienced the cross and the resurrection. They'd not even got to the day of Pentecost that we've remembered today. Yet Jesus still sent them out to proclaim the kingdom. Jesus knew that they were going as lambs among wolves. He knew that they were chucking, he was chucking them in the deep end and hoping they could swim. But he also knew that this was first and foremost what it meant to be one of his disciples, to share the good news. Not learning how to sit comfortably through a sermon on a Sunday. Not learning how to pray eloquently. Not developing the endurance to cope with another church meeting. But sharing the good news. When we make evangelism and mission something we do after we've done everything else in church life, then perhaps we've got our priorities wrong. We need to recognize that we are simply sent as disciples of Jesus in the whole of our lives, and then see what Jesus has in store for us. Because the Spirit of Pentecost still goes with us and before us to reveal God to those we meet. And maybe we just need to catch up. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come and renew the call to be the sent disciples of Jesus, to share the good news of the kingdom in word and deed with our neighbours and our friends, in peace and love. For we pray this in the name of and for the glory of the one who sends us, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.